as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What's up? What is going on? What's up? How y'all doing out there? It is me, Anthony, the Dashboard Pastor. Thank you for coming in, checking us out here on the DBP. I hope that everybody had a safe new year. I hope that everybody had a great Christmas. Relaxed. I did. I enjoyed it. And here we are at it again. So let me pull over so I can read this Bible verse, and then we'll get going from there. All right. The Bible verse I have today is Proverbs 3. Hello, Miss Connie. The Bible verses I have are Proverbs 3, 21 through 24. And it states this: my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and they keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You can lie down and sleep soundly. I love that part. Lie down and sleep soundly. Again, this is talking about discernment and common sense. Don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Now, I hit this from a couple angles. The first thing I'll do is in speaking about this common sense aspect. That is a term that doesn't have the same weight as it did when I was a kid and prior. I struggle with saying the term common sense because I don't believe that it's common anymore. There's nothing common about it because the world we live in and all these different aspects, and people think this and think that, and so I don't believe it is common. It should be, but it's not. Excuse me. That being said, focusing on the aspect of discernment, because that's what I think they're getting at in this. That's what I believe God is trying to flesh out in this, is the concept of using sense to connect discernment. So, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and do this now. I put a post up yesterday. It was a meme. It says, when God wants to bless you, he'll send a person to you. When Satan wants to destroy you, he'll send a person to you. Wisdom is knowing who sent who. Discernment. It is of discernment to know, and in reference to what we're talking about, who's in your life and why they're in your life. It is discernment to process who's in your life and why they're in your life. It is not bad to do a audit of the people that you have in your circumference. That is not a bad thing. I know that there are people who will try to make one feel bad for stuff like that. There are people who will say, oh, you're just being judgmental, or oh, you think you're better. And there are instances where that is very much the case and true. And there are people who operate from a standpoint of just that. They do think these things, and so they act accordingly. Now, that being said, just because I am doing an audit of the people in my circumference does not mean that I am being judgmental or self-righteous. Because like that meme that I posted said, just as much as God are sending people to you, so is the devil. And what is, depending on who sent them, is depending on the purpose. Whatever the purpose is, affects your life. So discernment is trying to figure out who sent this person to me. Is this something God sent me, or is this something the devil sent me? And praying for discernment, which is a good thing, wisdom and discernment, so you can discern who these people are. So if you got somebody in your circumference and it's all day, stuff is just always off, bunch of chaos, and this person brings nothing but chaos, confusion, anxiety, fear, I promise you God didn't send that person to you. I promise you that. Because God doesn't do that. He doesn't send confusion, anxiety, fear, chaos. God is a God of order. He is a God of peace. So if you have somebody or somebodies that are in your circumference, and your circumference is, everything is always a mess, it would behoove you to discern who sent that person to you. And once you know who sent that person to you, then you know what to do with that person. Now, auditing and eliminating people from your circumference doesn't mean that you hate people. It doesn't mean that you wish ill on these people. It just means that, hey, discernment has told me, as long as you're around, stuff ain't going right. I can't have you messing up my life. However, when you get your stuff figured out, I'm gonna always be here. Because discernment will also tell you when you need to be helping these people and when you need to back off. That is a huge thing, because we often think and are guilted oftentimes about what, well, Jesus did this, and Jesus said this, and Jesus would have. And people who generally say that to you don't really know what Jesus would do, because they're not studying what Jesus would do. They know what they've heard. They've heard some people say this, and they've heard this, and they remember this from that one time they went to church or whatever. But if you got people in your circumference, when you say, hey, I gotta move forward, and they're like, well, how are you just gonna do it? Jesus hung out with sinners. He did. And they changed because of his presence. He didn't change to them. So there's a difference. So if I am trying to guide you, and we don't even need to bring church into this, if I'm just trying to guide you to a better existence, a better lifestyle, and you are bucking and kicking and fighting, there's only so much that we are required of. In fact, Jesus said to love your neighbor. Yes. Jesus also said, give me your burdens. So what does that mean? If this person, this fictional person, is a burden to you, despite you trying to help them, Jesus is saying, hey, give me that burden. You don't need to carry that. That's not your cross to bear. And when Jesus says that to you, and walk away. Because I've said on here several times, there were people that Jesus didn't even stop to help. Not because he's mean, not because he hated them. There's a theme that happens in the Bible. There's a theme that happens. The people that Jesus helped were the people who were willing to listen to what he said and believe and trust in him when he said what he said. And people who weren't willing to do that, it was a waste of time. That sounds harsh, that sounds mean, and it was a waste of time. If I tell you, if I come to you and I say, hey, I need you to listen to everything I'm saying. What I really need you to do is not to go over to this chair over here and sit in this chair. Because if you sit in this chair, you're going to fall on, it's going to break. And you don't listen to me and you go sit in that chair and you fall and it breaks and you get hurt. Your lack of faith in what I said didn't allow me to help you. And I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just using that as a metaphor. You got to have faith in what is being said in order to have the blessing show up. And that is why there are instances where Jesus didn't help people. Essentially, they ain't gonna listen anyway. This person is not going to listen to me. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to process. And so I'm going to do all this, say all this, and I can't do nothing because Jesus cannot bless you if you don't believe in him. And the example I gave you is what that is. So let's go back to talking about people in discernment. If you have these same people in your circumference that you've been trying to help, and you've been trying to help, and you've been trying to help, this person's lack of faith in you and themselves, let's not let them off the hook. However, in this example, let's stick to this. This person's lack of faith in you, because that's what it is. If you are trying to help somebody and they won't listen to you, that's because they have a lack of faith. They do not believe in you or believe what you are saying more so than in you. Thank you, God, for that. They do not believe you. And because they don't believe you, they are not going to listen to you. So everything you are saying is just blah, 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 blah. Oh, and, you know, if you do this, this, blah, 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 blah. You could be telling them the absolute factual, this, if you follow this plan, I promise you it will help you. But if they don't believe you, they will not listen. And if you have a group of people, a person, whatever, of people who are not listening to you as you were trying to encourage and build. Let me add that, trying to encourage and build, because if you're just condemning and belittling, that's why they're not listening to you. If you are trying to encourage and build and help growth happen, and there's no acknowledgement of what you're saying, then that means this person does not believe you. And because they do not believe you, they can't hear you. And because they can't hear you and are not listening to you, they will not do or implement the things you are saying. That is a very, very physical representation of the relationship with Jesus and how if you don't have faith in him, he can't help you. If Jesus says, don't look left, and you immediately look left, he can't help you, because whatever it was that he didn't want you to look left for is now going to happen. If Jesus tells you to stop talking and you continue to talk, then he can't help you from the ramifications of what's going on. Instance, you get in a here's a really good one. People get this, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your siblings, whether it's your parents or your friend. Somebody says something to you that rubs you the wrong way, and Jesus says, stop talking. Don't respond. And you don't react. Forgive me. Jesus says, don't react. And the first thing you do is react. Now Jesus can't save you from the consequences of that. And oftentimes there are dire consequences. This is why people fall out with each other. This is why there's family members and people and spouses and everything else that fall out with each other, because of something as simple as what I'm talking about right now. Jesus says, hey, don't say a word. And you're like, oh no, I'm gonna say a word. You know, already messed up. Now, the ramifications of what you reacted to, you got to deal with. And because you didn't believe in Jesus when he told you to stop talking, he couldn't help you. Now, if he says stop talking and you stop talking, then he can help you. And it might not be some glorious, you know, humongous miracle. However, if you keep on, you'll see the ramifications of that. The point being, you got to believe in order to see. And you got to have discernment when it's Jesus talking to you as opposed to when it's the devil talking to you. To go back to what this meme is saying, and that's the point of that meme. It's not just about people. It's about concepts, situations, circumstances. You gotta discern who is talking to you. Because trust me, the devil knows the Bible better than you and I. Front back, he could quote it word for word. He knows it. And he's smart enough to use that against you and I. So, he could come with some really nice sounding stuff. That could be something God would, you know, I could see God saying something like that. If you don't have discernment, you fall for it. Now the devil got your life all messed up. To go back to the example I use, this is where the key contributing factor to relationships ending, whatever relationship you wanted to call it, whatever relationship it is that comes to your mind when I say that, the key contributing factor to all of that is discernment. There's that moment where you have, let's since we're going metaphors, let's do another one. There's that moment where you have the angel and devil on your shoulders talking to you. Which one are you going to listen to? Discernment helps you make that decision. Discernment can pick out. That don't sound like God. I know that sounded good, but that ain't God. God wouldn't tell me to do that. And discernment would also be to tell you, be like, man, that sounds kind of harsh. And that don't sound like something I want to do, but that does sound like something God will say to me. I had to say both of those, because just because it's not roses and flowers and makes you feel good don't mean it's not God talking to you. In fact, if it seems hard, it's probably God talking to you, most likely. The devil is the one that tried to tell you the easy way out. So back to this relationship piece I'm talking about. If I am in this relationship and I have this angel devil moment, the devil is the one being like, man, they don't know you. Don't let them disrespect you like that. You need to man up. You need to tell them about yourself. You need to tell them who they are, who you are, and how they better get in line. You better recognize that's Satan, in case you didn't catch that. Because if you listen closely to what I said All you heard come out of my mouth was pride. Every last bit of what I said was pride. And that's not God. God does not operate from a mindset of you being in a place of pride. That is why God says he humbles those who exalt themselves, and he exalts those who humble themselves. So when those voices start telling you things and it's coming from a place of pride, I guarantee you that's not God talking to you. So let me help you with some discernment right there. I can help you in that regard. There's a whole bunch of other things that I can't help you with, but I can sure help you with that. If the voices are getting you to puff yourself up, it's not God. Understand that confidence is different. Confidence is different from ego. Confidence is different from cockiness. Confidence is different from conceit. Confidence is different from self-righteousness. Because those other things I said all go under the category of self-righteousness. And if what you are saying is putting yourself in a place of being self-righteous, it's not God. Because God don't like self-righteous. You know how I can prove that? There's a hell. Lucifer got pretty self-righteous. Got too big for his britches. How did that work out for him? So there's proof that God don't like self-righteousness. Even if you got the Bible in your hand and you using the Bible to talk to somebody about something they may or may not be doing, if you are coming from a place of self-righteousness, you are not coming from a place of God. Because God tells us not to operate like that. Because again, in John 3:17, he says, I came to save the world, not condemn it. So, self-righteous speaking to anybody is not godly speaking to anybody. And if you want to ruin a relationship, stay in self-righteousness. I promise you, you will ruin that relationship. I promise that. So having discernment on when the voice is talking to you, what's going on, Zeke? It's good to see you. When you have these voices telling you to do something, having the discernment to know what voice is talking to you is paramount, it's key, it's whatever, however you want to describe that. Essential, much needed, pivotal, we can keep going. Discernment is huge, y'all. Discernment is huge. Discernment is huge. Discernment is the difference between a fool and a wise man. Discernment is. It's the difference between life and death. Discernment is. Now, I understand that everybody's going to die at some point, but how you go, discernment plays hugely into that. Because you make choices, you make decisions. And if you don't discern what is godly and what is not, you could be writing a check your behind can't cash. Thus the title of this episode. You gotta think about that. You gotta be mindful of that. AKA, you gotta use discernment when making decisions on things. Whether it be the people you surround yourself with, whether it be financial, whether it be the words you say, whether it be the church you go to or don't go to, whether it be what job you take, all of these things, whether it be what you say at your job, you got to have discernment. Because not having discernment writes checks that your behind can't cash. So when making decisions, maybe that should be something we stop and process. Now, I'm sure y'all have heard that metaphor before, and it wasn't as nicely as I said it. And I hope you get the point. Getting yourself into situations that you know you can't get out of. Making decisions that you ain't thought well through and don't and are not ready to deal with the ramifications of those decisions on the other end of this. These sort of things is what I'm talking about. Are the decisions that you make in decisions that you can cash the check? When it spins back around, can you handle what's coming? If you can't, you need maybe you made the wrong decision. And I know I started off just talking about people, but it's so much more than that. I hope you hear that. I started off talking about different people because it's an example. Because yes, you can control what people you have around you. And if you want to have a peaceful life, you will surround yourself with people who want to have peaceful lives. If you want to have a chaotic life, you will surround yourself by people who want to have chaotic lives. If you want to have a party life, you surround yourself with people who want to party. If you do not want to do that, you do not surround yourself with people who want to party. If you want to be in the midst of drama all the time, you surround yourself with people who are nothing but drama. If you don't want people who don't want to be involved in the drama, all of this is discernment. If my life ain't right, I gotta discern what's going on. Am I writing a check my behind can't cash? If I don't want to deal with the situations and ramifications of the decisions that I make, then I gotta make better decisions. It's that simple. And that is what this Bible verse is saying. That's why it says if you have discernment, you're gonna be able to go to bed at night. You're going to be able to sleep and rest. What this is saying is your life is going to be better. Even when the hard stuff comes, if you make the right decisions, the right choices, you have discernment. Even dealing with these hard decisions will be better because you'll be better equipped. You'll make better choices. So you won't put yourself in a worse situation than what you're already in. Because we're good at that. Bad situation, we have this mentality of, well, I'm already going through it. Who cares? That's not discernment. That's the opposite. That's foolishness. So, if you don't want to have chaos, for lack of a better word, use discernment. And it helps me when dealing with this, that. You know, I don't have terrible things going on because I'm making better decisions so that when terrible things come, I can handle the terrible things that have come because I am paying attention and I am not making my life worse. The choices we make are huge implications of the things that we are dealing with and often the things that people around us are dealing with. So even if you have a certain way you feel about yourself, hopefully you care about people around you and understand that the choices you make do in fact affect the people around you. And discernment will save you from saying things like, I'm miserable, I want everybody else to be miserable. Because that's self-righteousness. So who does that come from? It's a self-righteous mentality to be like, since I'm down, everybody's got to be down. I'm mad, everybody got to be mad. I'm broke, everybody got to be broke. That's self-righteousness on top of selfishness. If I'm down, I don't want y'all to be down. I want y'all to be up, encouraged. You don't need to be where I'm at. In fact, if you give me enough, you give me a minute, I'll pray about it and I get myself out of it. So please don't come down to where I'm at. Stay where you at. Help me, help lift me, help encourage me, build me to get out of that. That's the mentality we need to have. Instead of pulling people down, dragging people through the mud, just because things ain't going right for me, I'm just going to ruin it for everybody. That's not only if a self-righteous and selfish is coward, that's something cowards do. I love people better than that. I love y'all better than that. You don't need to be down where I'm at. If I'm up, I want you to be up with me now. There's that. Hey, I'm feeling good. Everything's going right. I want you to ride this with me. And if you ain't quite there, I'll do what I can to help bring you up to where I'm at. But I have the discernment to read the room and know my audience. That's another part of discernment. I ain't gonna come into a situation, you know, coming in smiling, talking this and this and whatever, and you know, and everybody sad and going through something. And so I'm gonna walk into it and just be like, oh man, y'all need to buck up. That's not what I'm talking about, because that's not using discernment. That's foolishness. Let me read the room. If I walk in, I'm feeling great. I walk in and it's like, oh, whoa, okay. That don't mean I'm gonna come down and lose my good mood. It means I'm going to process and think about how I communicate with you, in hopes that my processing and communication with you help you come out of the slump you're in and bring you up to where I'm at. That is discernment. Discernment is a humongous piece that we don't like to use because we are self-righteous. Because of our self-righteousness, we are selfish. If God is talking to you, God is talking to you, because he talked to me about all of this and he called me out. You don't need to be like that, son. It's not right to do that to people, son. You're better than that. So be better than that. Continue to be better than that. Don't let people drag you to that. There is that I gotta make, and I forgot about it, but what I just said reminded me. And it's related. I didn't think this was gonna be related to the message today, but it is. So hold on, let me go through here. All right, I'm gonna stop here, and I'm gonna say this sentence I wrote. No, I forget where this came from. Anyway, it says happiness is a feeling, and joy is a perspective, and knowing the difference is wisdom. I'm gonna say that again. Happiness is a feeling. Joy is a perspective, and knowing the difference between them is wisdom. The stuff that I just got through saying is leading to that. If I'm in a place of joy, I'm in the perspective of joy, despite what is going on around me. That perspective is keeping me in an appreciative, joyful spot. Understanding that mentality, joy, that's what this is saying. The joy is a mentality. I have to put on joy and keep that mentality. I have to work at joy and keep that mentality, that perspective. It doesn't just come. Happiness just comes and just leaves. Sadness just comes and just leaves. Excitement just comes and just leaves. Anger just comes and just leaves. Joy, you got to hold on to. You got to keep it. You got to love it. You got to hold it. You got to marinate on it. You got to do all of that. So wisdom is knowing the difference between your emotions and your perspectives, and your mentalities, what you're holding on to, what you shouldn't be holding on to. So thank you, Miss Connie. Praise God for that. I pray those under the sound of my voice hear what I'm saying, marinate on what I'm saying, apply what I'm saying, And I pray that you are not condemned by what I'm saying, because this message is not about condemnation. It's about growth. It's about encouragement. It's about, now I just lost the train of thought on that. Anyway, so let's focus on using discernment in our lives and watch how different our lives look. I love y'all. Come back next week. Let's chop it up next week. Have a great week, y'all. Peace.